Blog Talk Radio.
There is a tandem in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his own.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your way.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Addiction, debt, divorce, abuse, fear, guilt, illness, loneliness, heartbreak, loss of a loved one, rejection. All of these circumstances cast shadows across the paths of our lives. On this show, you will hear stories and testimonies of people just like us who have followed God's guidance out of the gloom of those dark places. Welcome to Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thanks for joining me for this 11th episode right here on Blog Talk Radio on the 24th day of November, 2015. I know some listeners come onto the show and they're unable to listen through the entire broadcast, and therefore I would like to tell you where you can find it again. I have a website. It is www.pattysheen.com. That is spelled PATTISHENE.com. When you go to that website all of this week, the link for this particular show will be up on the very front page. But also there is a Blog Talk Radio tab, and that has several pages under it with all of our archive shows, as well as this is our featured show of the week. So if you can't stay with us this morning, you can always come back and listen at your leisure. I'd also like to make you aware that I have a Facebook page, which is entitled Step Into the Light. I'd love to have you come on over and like that page. And I have a personal page, which you can find under Patty Sheen Gonzalez. Come on over and follow me on Twitter. I'm at Patty Sheen, and I also have a Pinterest page. And on that Pinterest page, I put a photo of all of my Step Into the Light guests. So love to have you connect with me on social media. Well, even though it's been over a week, the Paris attacks are still very much in the news and on the minds of people all over the world. Since then, there's been the attack on the Molly Radisson Hotel, and the threat of further attacks lurks in the hearts of all of us. In light of these circumstances, I feel moved to offer a prayer this morning for all of the victims of these senseless and horrific attacks, and I ask that you will all please keep everyone involved in prayer. I also urge listeners to pray for travelers over this holiday. If you're traveling, be safe, be careful, and be ever vigilant. If you see something that seems the least bit suspicious, don't hesitate to report it to the appropriate authorities immediately. As we in the United States celebrate Thanksgiving in just a couple of days now, we'll all need to pause, in the midst of our celebrations with family and friends and food and fun, and remember how very fortunate we are. We should express our gratitude to God for his abundant gifts and to all those who impact our lives in a positive manner. On a lighter note, I read an interesting fact the other day about Thanksgiving. Seems the most commonly asked question on the Butterball hotline is this: help, my turkey's still frozen. People have asked if they could thaw their turkey in the clothes dryer or by hanging it on the clothesline. Neither one of these methods are recommended. Be sure to allow ample time to thaw your turkey in a safe environment, mainly the refrigerator. Well, it's time to introduce our guest this morning. Today's guest credits her Native American heritage with her gift of storytelling. Dolores Leisner loves to tell stories as illustrated by her many writing credits in several anthologies, including the popular Chicken Soup for the Soul books. She also has articles published in numerous magazines, from the Christian Communicator to Women's World. Dolores shares God's love in her written work and through ministry and mentoring. In addition to the miracles of the Bible, she believes God performs miracles still today and tells of several that have occurred in her life within the pages of her recent released book entitled Be the Miracle. Welcome, Dolores.
Good morning, Patty.
So good to have you here this morning, Dolores. Dolores was supposed to be on our show way back when I was doing Literally Speaking back in, I think it was April we had you scheduled, wasn't it, Dolores? And we had to call her that morning because my ministry partner at the time had no internet and there was absolutely nothing we could do about that. But God works in wonderful ways, because when we rescheduled, she told me that her book would be out sometime in the latter part of the year. So this has worked out great, Dolores.
Yes, I'm happy with it.
Well, Dolores, you experienced a great deal of challenge and adversity when you were younger. Before you truly came to know God, would you share with us a brief testimony,
an overview of
what happened?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. It still startles me, I guess, when I look back on the things, and I usually start off with just a few words that give a broad picture: alcohol, drugs, arson, physical, emotional, and spiritual abuse, beatings, depression, attempted suicide, murder. All of those things were part of my early childhood and teen years. So when I read that to my younger sister, she went, wow, I guess that's true. That really is or was our life.
My
mom particularly was an abuser, and her treatment for me was to beat me and bang my head on walls or on the floor until I passed out. I know. She called me vile names no matter what I did. So as I grew up with this experience, I thought, well, I might as well enjoy the crime if I was already convicted. So I tried different things. I tried joining a local gang, but I failed the initiation to inhale. And, you know, I can see how God protected me. I tried to run away several times. I attempted suicide. A lot of these things, of course, got me beatings because it drew attention to my unhappy home, and my mother didn't want people to know what was going on.
Sure.
So I was stuck at home, so I escaped through different things, and that's where the writing began, because I would read, because reading will take you to any world, wherever you want to go. And I started doing book reports in English because that involved reading and drama. And then speaking, because that involved writing. And again, speaking was kind of drama. And I became kind of a class clown to cover up, you know, my unhappiness. So then later on, when I met my husband, we discussed our church background, which was also abusive and controlling. So we had a plan. We said, let's find God our way without man's interference. The only thing we could agree on was the Bible was God's word. But when I began reading it, I had nightmares of demons trying to pull me out of our second-story apartment window. Well, Ken shared this with a friend he worked it with, and Charlie told him the Gospel of John would tell him what to believe. He told him we were having a spiritual battle. That's why I had the dreams. And Ken went to the Gospel of John, and he underlined all the words that believed. I think there were 43 of them, if I remember right. And he believed all those things and made his decision to give his life to Christ. Well, I wasn't so sure that he was keeping our agreement. So I asked God to show me if this was the way. And kind of astonished at my audacity now, but a couple of weeks later, it was the 4th of July. Ken was working nights, and I was home alone on the back porch watching the fireworks and thinking of bombs bursting in air as I saw the fireworks. And I was giving thanks for parents who gave their sons for my freedom, and that's when God spoke to my heart and said, you accept their sons' gifts. I also gave my son so that you could have eternal freedom. Why don't you accept my gift? So that was my moment.
Wow, that is a very powerful story. Dolores, thanks so much for sharing that with us.
Well, it's, you know, a brief overview, but you can understand the radical difference it made in my life to know I was truly loved.
Yeah, absolutely, because you had never experienced anything like that in your past.
Not at all.
Growing up, so it was, oh my goodness, that's a neat, I had goosebumps when I was listening to parts of your story, just to think of the way you were treated. You describe writing as something you do constantly and essentially, and you can't even remember a time when you weren't writing or weren't a writer. Where do your stories come from? And I know you shared a little bit of that with us now. And how do you feel your American Indian heritage impacted your writing, or has it in any way, Dolores?
Yes, I really feel it has. And my stories basically come from life, even if I someday do fiction, because I'm always asking why and what if. And we kind of joke that I'm the world's most mature toddler because I'm always asking those questions. You know, one example was I went to visit an elderly friend in a nursing home, and it was in a crime-ridden neighborhood. And while I was speaking with her, I heard pop, pop, pop. And in that case, I knew it wasn't fireworks, and looked out the window. And the building across the street was surrounded by police and gang people. And then I noticed the one person with the gang headband looking up, and I met his eyes and quickly shut the curtain. And, you know, then, of course, I began at saying, what if? Who was that person? You know, what could have happened? Was he a real gang person? And then shortly after, I met an undercover policeman who was operating as a gang member to resolve some things that were going on in their community, and shared my incident, and I asked him questions too. What if, what if? And so you can see how my mind works.
Sure.
Our Indian ancestry was... it was my dad's mother who was Native American, and that was a taboo topic growing up. And she and my dad were the only family members who would not close the door on the topic. I think it was because a lot of the Natives got sent back to their country after coming here. And, you know, secrets are often more intriguing than a simple truth. So their actions caused me actually to think about it more, to search it out, to consider it my true heritage. And while researching our family history, my sister and I met some ladies from the Menominee tribe who encouraged me as a storyteller, and they emphasized how important storytelling was. It was used to connect the past to the future generations. And that really hit a spark with me, and I felt like that's my legacy. Well, it's really all of our legacies, to tell our stories for the future generations.
That's so true. And back in the day, that was the main means of communication and storytelling.
Right.
You didn't pick up a book back then. You sat around the campfire and told stories. So what tribe then are your ancestors associated with?
Well, we do believe it is the Menominee tribe, and it was really an amazing experience we had when we went and visited them. A lot of God coincidences. But that would be another
story. You had a lot of
them
in your life. I can attest to that from your book, and we'll talk about that in a bit.
Right.
Dolores, if I'm not mistaken, it's been a while since I researched your site because, of course, I set up the show way back in April. Been kind of updating a little bit. But if I understand correctly, you had what you kind of consider three levels of ministry. Can you share with us?
Right. I do. I was kind of rather taught that way by some dear people we came in contact with when we first accepted Christ. And the first one was that people come first. You know, there's always choices to make in life. And so my first level of ministry is what I like to call being God's delivery girl. And that's just putting myself into God's hand and listening as I read the word and following directions to notice someone's need and to bless someone. And I usually ask God before I go out, lead me to someone who needs you and who I can minister to somehow. And that's what Be the Miracle is all about, stories of that nature. And then the second level of ministry is using God's word and mentoring women. I enjoy budget counseling and comforting those who have lost a child in person and through writing. So that's whatever, you know, the things that have happened to us. As Scripture says, we are able to comfort others. through what we've experienced. And then the third level of ministry is prayer for those who minister to me. And that would actually include you, because this is an American Indian teaching too. Much of the American culture seems to be like about getting, about winning. And then the one who wins or gets advances to get more. But the American Indian culture teaches us to share our gains and to honor and reward those who influence us and who helped us to reach our goals and dreams. So I like to say a prayer while listening to music that blesses me, while reviewing inspirational books, even products, praying for the writers and the creators and for their outreach with their product or their program. And I feel God gives us that special privilege to participate in others' ministries as we can read and pray for authors and musicians and teachers and others. And I've met some wonderful people, Buddy Green and the Gaithers and a lot of people like that, who usually they get asked to pray, and they feel, you know, honored too when you ask them, what can I pray for you about? And so it puts a special link and a special meaning also to their ministry.
That is very neat. I see on your website here, Dolores, you also have it's a neat little symbol. It looks like an arrow maybe, but on there you have putting hands and feet to our faith.
Right.
And I really love that.
That's my tagline, and that's what I really believe is important, is to activate what we believe.
Yes, absolutely. And it's so easy to state within the safety of other Christians what we believe, but to actually go out and act on that and maybe make those statements when it's not such a popular statement makes it a whole lot harder.
It is risky living, but it's also extremely joyful.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's joyful, but it's also challenging, and mm-hmm. it's fun to see what God is going to do. Sometimes it's pretty scary, but it can be fun too. Mm-hmm. So tell us about Be the Miracle and how it came into existence, Dolores.
Well, I've written these stories, and partly for my own personal challenge. But then in 2010, I met teacher and author Bruce Wilkinson. He's done The Prayer of Jabez and You Were Born for This and other similar stories. And he
yes.
encouraged me that people need to know, they want to know, that God works in the lives of his children today. And so he suggested I select 31 of my stories and make it a devotional where people could do one a day for a month. And then as I gathered the stories and selected them, because I've had so many exciting things happen to me, that I prayed with some of my influencers, and we felt the book should be more than just some good-for-her stories. You know, there's a lot of books out there about a little blessings, surprising things, and they're really neat to read. But I wanted people to be able to go a step further with them. And so after praying about it, worked on adding the personal lesson and the verse and the challenge so that others could be encouraged to follow God's leading and be able to share their own stories.
And that's what I was going to mention, Dolores. Thank you so much, by the way, for sending me a complimentary copy of the book. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But I wanted to mention to our listeners that, yes, in addition to these amazing stories, you do have the life-changing lesson at the end of each story and the Bible verse that is pertinent to that particular story, and then a challenge to the reader to go out and look for your own miracle, make your own miracles. So as I read through these stories, the thought kept coming to my mind, do you believe the experiences that you write about occur in a person's life as a result of their faith or to strengthen their faith?
Well, for me, it's actually been both, because stepping out and asking God to lead us to someone to bless is really an act of faith, sometimes a scary or risky one. But every time it happens, it's so exciting and awesome to think that God connected me to a stranger, or God led someone to me to for a specific answer to prayer they had no clue about, and that certainly builds my faith. And that's also, you know, why I write, because days come, you know, when our faith is challenged and the enemy tries to tell us that things are dark. And but I can take out these adventures and I can read them and I can look back and I can say, this is the evidence. God did this, God did this, God walked me through that. He'll also take care of this new challenge. So definitely faith building.
I think sometimes, and tell me if you agree or disagree with this, I think sometimes there are miracles in our lives, and depending on where you are spiritually, I'm not saying you personally, where we are as people spiritually, I think we can completely miss them.
Well, I definitely think that's true, and this is what some of the people have told me who have read my stories was, oh, now I see, you know, some things in my life that were sort of similar. I can see what God was doing, or I can see what God's been trying to tell me. And that's my hope. It's not just to say, well, I have a, you know, special relationship with God, but we all do, and we all have the opportunity for those kind of things to happen in our lives.
Well, if I can, I'll share a quick story with you. My husband went through over 3 years of all kinds of medical stuff. He has compromised blood flow in his left leg, and I won't tell you the whole story, but the last incident that he had, the last surgery, he had an artificial vein placed in that leg. And when the doctor talked to me, now this doctor has been in vascular surgery for a number of years, so he knows what he's talking about. And he said, now, you need to be aware that this vein will probably last for about 12 months. And then we're going to have to do something else. And he said, 16 months at the outside, that would be the very longest. We went up on the 26th of October, and he had an ultrasound done on that leg, and that vein is still doing very well, and it has been over 2 years.
Wow.
So in my opinion, I tell people that, and they say, oh, he's so lucky, and I say, no, he's not. He's blessed. You know what I mean? I mean, to me, it's not just something that, oh, he beat the odds. I think it's from the hand of God, and I don't know. I think it depends on your outlook on life and where you are spiritually as to how you look at these things.
Right.
So I just wanted to share that with you.
Okay. Thank you.
But before we go to break, and with our listeners, but before we go to break, Dolores, I'd like you to share one of your favorite stories. We have about 5 minutes here before we go to a short break.
Okay. Yeah, I thought about this if you would ask me, and I think the one I'd like to share is, I called it Go Wednesday. And during my experiences, I had been called in God's sense of humor to be guardian for my mom. And that was really a pretty oppressive thing. But on my journeys, I always brought a friend recommended by the court that I have a witness for all the things that were done and said, because my mom was pretty violent. And then I brought, ashamed to say, but I did, at the beginning, I brought a little life insurance policy because I didn't know if I'd come back or not. And then I brought a scripture verse. And God always gave me a specific verse or specific message. And this time, although I usually visited my mom on Mondays because they had a little gathering that she enjoyed singing gospel songs, the Spirit kept whispering to me, go Wednesday, go Wednesday, go Wednesday. And I called my friend who came to me, and I said, what do you think? And she said, well, I'm free on Wednesday. Let's go see what happens. And God always also leads me often to bring a particular thing, and I don't know why, but I always find out. And I had just reviewed a book called Simple Faith by Eddie Snipes about understanding the basic doctrines as a new believer. And I'd ordered extra copies for ministry, so I felt I should put one in the car, so there it went. And my friend and I visited Mom, and she was kind of fading at this point and kept falling asleep. And so I went and got updates from staff and left wondering why we came on Wednesday. Well, on the way home, my friend said, are you going to visit Nancy again? And Nancy was a lady I'd met in a little shop right on the way into Michigan. My curiosity called me in there. And as we drove up, the store window sign said, new hours closed Monday and Tuesday. So if I'd gone on Monday as usual, she would not have been there. And I was even more surprised when I walked in. Nancy ran to me with open arms, shouting, "You came, you came." And I'm like, "What?" And I'd shared my grandson's testimony and books on heaven for Nancy, because her husband and her dad also had cancer, like our grandson. And I assumed Nancy knew the Lord. And here she was exclaiming, "I finally got it. I finally got it." I said, "You got what?" And she said, "I read Dave's testimony of our grandson every night for a month, asking God to help me understand." And she had accepted Christ. And she told me how the Bible just came alive to her. She couldn't stop reading it. And she prayed and asked God to send me on Wednesday with a book to help her understand this, the bigger concepts that she couldn't understand. When I told her I happened to have a book in the car, she said, "I knew you would."
Isn't that amazing?
Only God can orchestrate something like that.
That's right. Well, thank you for sharing that story. And I enjoyed that one when I read it. I don't think there's one that I didn't enjoy, Dolores. They were all just such amazing stories. I'm going to take a short break here, and the only reason I'm doing this is to identify who we are, because it's the nature of Blog Talk Radio for people to kind of come in and out. So if you have just joined us, you are listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen. Our guest today is Dolores Leisner. Dolores is an author. She just recently published her book entitled Be the Miracle. She is also the author of several articles in many different magazines, and she has some work in Chicken Soup for the Soul books as well. So I want to tell our listeners where they can find Dolores. She has a website, and it is www.DoloresLeisner, and let me spell that. It's DoloresLeisner.com. She has a personal Facebook page. Just type in her name and you will come up with that. And also an author page. Is that correct, Dolores? Two separate pages?
Yes, it is. Dolores Leisner-author is the other one.
Okay. And then she also has, and we'll get into this later, it's not necessarily her page, but it's a page called I Don't Want to Die, and we will discuss the meaning behind that here soon. You can also follow Dolores on Twitter, and she is D. Leisner. And she also has a Pinterest page, which you can find her at Dolores Leisner, and she has an Amazon author page. And you probably won't remember a single thing I just said. Therefore, on my website, which is www.pattysheen.com, spelled PattySheene.com, you will find under my Blog Talk Radio tab a page that is called Website and Social Media Information, and there you will find all of the links that I just gave you to find Dolores. And that is true with all of our guests. Any website that we mention, website or social media venue that we mention on the show, goes on that page, so that 4 weeks from now, when you're thinking, "Man, I'd sure love to look up what Dolores has on Pinterest," and you can't remember how to get there, just go to that page, and the direct link will take you right there. So we will get back to our show. Dolores, is the nature of this show is to focus on and talk about at some point a time when a guest was surrounded by darkness and how they came out of that darkness. So tell us about a time. It can be in your writing career, in your ministry, or even if your personal life, if you want to share that. You shared a fascinating story with me last night on an email, so if that's what you would like to share, that's fine with me.
Well, I actually have a new story that you haven't heard.
Okay.
But I think you'll relate to it because of what we discussed. But I was writing, as I worked in education, I was a support staff for a principal, and I was writing most nights after working, and I had set goals and mini goals and just exactly what my plan was for my life, you know, and a countdown for retirement and full-time writing. And I was just excited, and just before I reached this goal, I received the call to be guardian for my mother. She had become manipulative, and she was suing everyone in the courts, and no one in the family, extended family, no one in the community would take her on. And of course, I knew what scripture said. It said, honor your parents. And so I, you know, reluctantly begged them first, you know, can't I have time? I want to, you know, chance to fulfill my dream and my calling. And then I looked up what the average guardian experience was, and it was 15 years. And I thought, oh, am I going to have to wait 15 years? I was overwhelmed. I felt trapped by my past. And so I really had to pray and to realize that this was a partial delay. And though I couldn't do what I wanted to do as a writer, I certainly didn't stop writing. Unfortunately, and maybe humorously, even in the darkness, a lot of interesting material, you know, abounded to keep me writing and journaling. And I was also able to share some stories to encourage other people who were caretakers. So it was a dark time. It was a time when even serious family emergencies felt like a blessing, because I got to get away from my mother's constant demands and accusations for a short time whenever things happen. Over this time, I had been praying for several years about one of my goals, and that was attending a specific conference that was in New Mexico. And it's actually the conference where I met Bruce Wilkinson. And so eventually, over a lot of stories, the day came when Mom needed more care than I could provide, and the doctors insisted she be placed in a special home. And one of the care workers said to me, Dolores, this is your time. This is time to follow your dream. And that's when I looked back on, you know, my plans and hopes and began praying about the conference. And that's one of the stories that's also in Be the Miracle, how God provided that I could claim my dream at that point. So that was rather darkness to light.
And what inspirational quotes or Bible verses have helped you out of darkness and back to light?
Well, you know, like I said, I memorized a lot of scripture and brought scripture with me each time. And one of the first verses that I memorized is Psalm 119:105. And in those days, we were reading the King James Bible, but now I use the Message a lot. And that one translates that verse to, by your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. And that really gives me a good picture of how I need God's words to get light on whatever the situation is. Cecil Murphy is a very prolific writer, and he has a saying that came from his years of abuse, which I really related to, and that was that emotions are just feelings. They are not reality. Reality and truth is what God's word says about me. So focusing on who Christ is and who I am in Christ brings me back to the light. And this really special passage regarding that was Isaiah 42. Well, the whole chapter, really, but especially verse 16, again in the Message, it reads like this. It says, but I'll take the hands of those who don't know the way, who can't see where they're going. I'll be a personal guide to them, directing them through unknown country. I'll be right there to show them what roads to take, make sure they don't fall into the ditch. These are the things I'll be doing for them, sticking with them, not leaving them for a minute. And that really helps me to remember that.
Yes, I really enjoy the Message. I have to admit, I haven't read it for quite some time because I got caught up in the Life Application Study Bible.
Oh, yes, that's
a
good one, too.
I really like that one because it has all the footnotes, but oh my goodness, it takes a long time to get through. I'm doing the Bible in a year thing, but I'm like on my third year trying to get through that 1 year. But even right now, I'm in the Gospels, and it tells you to read, what, 3 or 4 chapters a day, and it's like, good grief, one chapter is like 4 pages. So it slowed me down quite a bit, but I think I have grasped such an understanding of the history and how things go together from that Bible. And I vowed that when I finish that one, then I'm just going to go through the whole thing again in the Message. Mm-hmm. It'll be a whole different type of reading, but with the background from this Life Application. Yeah, I know what you mean. My plan at first was to read a passage or a couple of chapters from that and then the message, well, forget it. I'd be all day reading if I did that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, making that comparison would be fun, but you'd have to have an awful lot of time on your hands and be able to do that. Dolores, tell us about the documentary, I Don't Want to Die, and I'm not sure at what, once again, I prepared this back in April, so I'm not sure, is that documentary out now, or is it still in the process of being completed, or where are you at with that?
Well, I think their goal was to have it in 2015. I'm not sure. There's only a month left. If they're going to make it, they're in the final process of editing and wrapping it up right now. But this is the story. Actually, this young man, he would chuckle at that, but to me, all of these mature people are now kids at my stage of life. But Rylan Riker is the man, and their little saying is, follow one man's journey to save a family member battling cancer and to find answers as to why modern medicine is not enough. So as Rylan went on this journey to find all the help he needed for his family member, he was searching because he found that the best of traditional didn't seem to be enough, but also just natural medicine met some of the needs, and of course it doesn't work when you need surgery and so on. But this is what his goal became, was integrative medicine, to get the best of traditional and the best of natural or alternative medicine, and to combine that for ultimate health for people. And as he began searching for his own family member, he met a lot of people with similar journeys. And I was blessed to be interviewed for this documentary, as were our daughter and son-in-law, because of our experience with their son David's cancer journey. Two of the quotes from some of the patients they interviewed really struck me, and I think they're applicable to all of life, really, not just physical. But one was, there are two ways you can get through pain. You can let it destroy you, or you can use it as fuel to drive you. And I thought that was particularly, a powerful thought. And, that's a lot of like what you were talking about, the darkness, the dark times of our life. You can let it destroy you, or you can, it's word to, as fuel to drive you. And then the other one was about diet. Diet plays a huge role in the healing process. Are you feeding or fighting your disease? And so I think that's the same thing for, all the decisions we make in life, as well as what are your food choices, whatever choices, are they bringing life to you physically, spiritually, emotionally, or not? So I just thought those were particularly powerful. I'm really excited to see the movie when it comes out.
Oh, absolutely. Now, what kind of a venue would the movie be in, Dolores? Is it TV? Is it in theaters? Is it
My understanding is that it will be in theaters. That's my understanding, yeah. And,
very good.
There's a little more info and a trailer. I think the temporary trailer is still out, and they were working on the complete trailer on their website, I Don't Want to Die.
Mm-hmm. And that's at idontwanttodie.com?
I think it's a Facebook page. I'm not sure if it's also on.
Oh, okay. You have it in the Facebook page down there. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, it sounds like an exciting project for you to be involved in, Dolores.
Right,
and
it's also a passion. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you wanted to touch on this or not, but throughout your book, you do reference your grandson, and I assume that he passed from cancer. Is that true?
He did. He was given an extra 6 years of life through finding, natural methods of healing, but there was also damage from some of the traditional ways that I guess are the best that the doctors know at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was quite a journey. He was quite an inspirational young man, always asking in his times of trouble, all right, God, what do you want me to learn from this, or what do you want me to share with others about this? And really admirable.
And how old was he when he passed, Dolores?
19.
Oh my. Well, I wanted to express my condolences because it was pretty obvious from your book that that had occurred, and I just wanted to tell you that, I'm so sorry, but it does sound like he was quite an inspiration to many of the people around him, and that he touched lives in a very profound way.
He did, yes, indeed.
Well, you, along with several other writers I know, and by the way, I had to ask you, you mentioned Cece Murphy. Have you ever been to Marlene Bagnell's writers' conferences?
No,
either Colorado Christian or Greater Philadelphia Christian Writers Conference. Oh, because that's where I know Cece from. So it's so fun to talk with people that know the same people I do, you know. But yeah, he's been a speaker over there at her conferences for, you know, several times. And yeah, he's quite an amazing man, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, along with several of the other writers I know, a lot of us like to embrace one word to focus on throughout the new year. And as we are approaching the new year, have you come up with a word yet for 2016?
Well, I'm thinking about it, and it's a kind of an act of faith, because I had a really challenging year this last year. We had unexpected loss of our daughter. And
so you've experienced this twice?
Well, yes, in a different way with our grandchild and with our daughter. But she had a stroke from taking ibuprofen, and unaware that there's a 75% increase in chance of a massive stroke. So the company has now put the labeling on their package. Of course, I feel like it's too late, but it's not, because God's in control. But anyway, I found a topical study list of verses on praise in her Bible, and about a third of them were checked off. And so I feel like that's a goal for me. I want to pursue that study this year and rediscover her focus on praise, and I think it would be a really healthy thing for me to do as an act of faith, is take the word praise for 2016 and look for praise and, you know, write about praise and live out praise.
Very good. Well, I've been thinking about a word. Last year, my word, I think, was encourage, hence starting the radio show. But I think this year, when I think of all of the projects that I have procrastinated with throughout the year, I think my new word is going to be act. Great big capital letters, ACT, put them all over the house.
Yeah. That sounds like a big lesson of mine. Just be careful that you're responding instead of reacting.
I know.
That's my downfall.
Yeah, my biggest thing is procrastination. I am very, very bad about that. There's always tomorrow. Well, you know, the older we get, there's not always going to be tomorrow.
I have a friend who says I have a friend who says she doesn't buy green bananas anymore. Because
how
of
funny.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, it gets a little bit, I don't know if it's depressing, but it makes you realize reality when I think that I have a whole heck of a lot less of my life to live than what I've already lived.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow.
Well, actually, you mean our life here, because...
And our life here, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I had a dear friend who is 93, and when she passed, and she told me that we're made for eternity, and that's why we don't feel so old inside.
That's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably true, but I guess I'm starting to live with this fear that I'm going to get there, and God's going to say, okay, what did you do with all that time I gave you? Dolores, I believe I read this on your website. I read it somewhere. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you said that you encourage others to live intentionally like Lazarus. Explain what does that mean? And it may be right along the line of what we were just talking about.
Well, it kind of is, because several years ago, a pastor friend began an online thing called the Lazarus Experiment. And it's 40 days after Easter. And it's, you know, celebrating resurrection and thinking about Lazarus coming back to life. You know, what would he have done? what would he have thought, you know, the things that he wished he had done? And so, you know, look at yourself. What would I do had I died and been brought to life again? I mean, I've had that experience spiritually, but how would I feel if it was in the flesh? Would I be so, you know, shy? And I know people that know me would laugh if they think I'm not shy. But living like Lazarus gives you kind of a fresh outlook on the urgency and also the freedom of reaching out to others without, you know, worrying about myself or what people will think. And there's a quote a fellow named Michael Duncan said, "You cannot say you're living by faith when there's only an increase in knowledge but an absence of action." So
yes.
I think living like Lazarus certainly enhances that thought of living by faith. And, you know, Paul said that in Philippians 2, where I kind of got my tagline was, "Let us live up to what we've already attained." So what would I do and how would I live up to that? You know, on the serious side, one of my daughter's favorite songs was Carolyn Arendt's version of "Seize the Day." You know, seize the day whatever you can, because life slips away like the hourglass sand, like you're saying, you know. Seize the day and pray for grace from God's hand. And I try to do that every day to see God's leading, but I also try to do it with humor, because to me, God's had such a sense of humor in my life. And Irma Bombeck also says seize the day, but her version is seize the day. Think of all the women on the Titanic that waved off the dessert cart. So, you know, when we do this live like Lazarus thing, we have several funny challenges. Some are serious. Some are, you know, do something crazy, do something ridiculous. And, you know, like one day I was visiting, I think I was in Missouri, and I saw this man washing the window. He was inside of the building. So I went up and mimicked him, you know, trying to move my hand the same way he was moving. And we both started laughing, but, you know, we had an opportunity for a little bitty chat. And it's just those fun little intersections of life that you wouldn't normally make yourself do. But when you're thinking about live like Lazarus, it kind of puts an extra spice in life.
I love that, Dolores. I'm going to take that to heart and keep that in mind. Oh, excuse me. You know, we have a little bit more time left than what I thought we would. So if you don't mind, would you share that story that you emailed to me? Do you feel comfortable sharing that?
Well, okay. and I say it that way because I know. I've had some, you know, deeply spiritual, remarkable things. And some of the stories I've written about, James Bell has some books about miracles and things that have happened. Well, this one was about two women who showed up on my doorstep one day. I had been, I should backtrack that I was mentoring a young Christian believer who's kind of just become like a real sister in the Lord to me. And so we were spending time praying together, and this was really good preparation for what happened, because these two women showed up at my door and announced that they were from a church, which I put in quotes because it was really bizarre, and that a relative of mine had attended their church for a while, and that he supposedly had stolen from them. And so she was quoting a scripture. Somehow she had found my address in his things, I guess, that he left, and must have looked me up to know that I was a person of faith. And she quoted a scripture that I was my brother's keeper, and she challenged me to pay for whatever damage he'd done, whatever things he had stolen, and I, of course, said no. And she and her partner were acting really peculiarly, and I could sense that this was not God's spirit that was involved or leading this group. And she also, I could tell she had a tape recorder in her purse, because whenever I moved in the room or whatever, she would turn her purse and angle it towards me so she could record what I was saying.
Oh,
interestingly. And so anyway, she began attacking me. And first he attacked my brother, which is not my issue. That's between him and God. And then she attacked me. And I thought, you know, let her rant because, you know, I know where I stand with the Lord. And then she attacked my husband. And, you know, that prickled me a little, but I, you know, she seemed to be going a step higher and higher and higher. And we both know that when you're accused, there's only one place accusations come from. God does not accuse, he heals. And so then she attacked my faith, and she said to me, you have two gods. You obviously believe in Jesus, but you also believe in Satan, or you worship Satan. And at that, I stood up and very firmly began reciting the things I believe, you know, like almost like, you know, the old Apostles' Creed. I believe in Jesus right. Christ, the only begotten Son. And when I got to, I believe in the blood of Christ that shed was shed for our sins. At the name, the words, the blood of Christ, she and her friend, both of them, grabbed their throats and they started gasping. Like they couldn't breathe. And they ran from my house. And I was, like, startled. I mean, you know, I'd had a lot of experiences up to that point, knowing that there was another world, realizing that we were in a spiritual battle. But to see the physical effect of it was quite startling to me. And so then I, you know, called my prayer partner, and we began, you know, seriously praying about this. And then things started happening, challenges or oppressions on Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock. So we knew that they were seeking other other venues for attacking me spiritually. And claimed scripture and prayed through that and was released from that. And so perhaps 5 or 6 weeks later, the woman's car pulls up in front of the house again, and I, you know, saw it. So I went out on the porch, and I said, oh, you're back. And she said, yes, we want to give you one more chance to pay this money. And I said, no, thank you. You know, God has confirmed it for me. That is not my responsibility. And so I said, why don't you come in, and we'll talk about it. And they're like, oh, no, they wouldn't even cross the sidewalk. We will not come into your house. And you know, yes, you know, doesn't that make you chuckle, though? I mean, I think yeah. God has such a sense of humor. And, yeah, exactly. You know, and yeah. So then I told him also, it's been revealed to me what you've been doing on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, so you can stop it. God has, you know, shut that down. And their eyes just got huge. And they jumped in the car and drove off, and I have not seen or heard from them since.
Yeah, I read that last night, and I thought, oh, wow, this is an amazing, amazing story. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
I think we need really reminders like that in these days and the coming days that appear to be around the corner, to know that God is more powerful.
And the scary thing is that people scoff at the spiritual warfare issue. They don't think it exists, and that's what makes it even more scary that they don't.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, we all wonder, you know, we read these things, but until you've experienced them, it's hard to really imagine.
Well, we're about at the end of our time, Dolores. I do want to thank you so much for sharing with us. It's been a delightful 55 minutes here. And I also want to tell you, as we spoke before the show went on air, enjoy your snow for me. I'm really hoping for a lot of snow this winter, but we probably won't get it. You never know. But anyway, I do want to wish you and your family a blessed Thanksgiving. And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this morning. And again, thank you for a copy of your book. And I just want to say thanks.
Well, I can say thank you back. It's been a pleasure and just enjoyable getting to know you, Patty.
Okay, you take care, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless. Okay, I want to remind folks that if you go to my website page, which is www.pattysheene.com, P-A-T-T-I-S-H-E-N-E, you will be able to find all of the links that I mentioned earlier in the show as to how to find Dolores. She has a website, she has a couple of Facebook pages, she has a Twitter account, she has a Pinterest account, and she has an Amazon author page. And I would encourage listeners to get a copy of her book. It is quite fascinating, the different experiences that she has had that are definitely miraculous. Quite an interesting lady. So, next week, we have a lady by the name of M.K. who is going to be my guest. She is a servant of the Lord who has traveled to over 20 countries sharing the gospel message. She will talk about her travels and why the message she shares is so important today. Before I close, I want to wish everybody a happy and blessed and safe Thanksgiving. Once again, as I mentioned in the first part of the show, I'm praying for traveling mercies for everyone. And in the face of all that is going on in our world today, please, once again, be careful, be safe, be vigilant, and pay attention to what's going on around you. In closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Hope to see you back here next Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Until then, God bless you all. Thank you for listening.